Good morning.
Good morning.
I made sure I didn't turn the mic on too soon. Didn't hear me singing. That's good. Couple of announcements. One, we'd like to welcome any visitors that we have. We have Alex with us again today. We're glad to see him. Brenda Jackson sent a prayer request in to pray for her family who is moving back to Las Vegas. She would like prayers for those in the church and those out of the church. That's a prayer that we all could take advantage of. And I'd like for us to take a moment and go to God before we get into our lesson and pray on behalf of Brenda's family. Let's bow. Dear Heavenly Father, we humbly come to you, thanking you for the avenue of prayer, that we can come boldly before your throne and lay our petitions before you. Dear God, we ask that you be with Brenda's family as they move to Las Vegas. They are driving across country, and we ask, our desire is that their move will be safe and it will be productive once they get here. We hope that her and the others in her family that are in the church will have a good influence on them, and that they will be faithful in attendance. We ask that you be with us this morning as we continue our worship to you. We hope everything we do is pleasing and acceptable to you, and that everything is done in spirit and truth. We pray everything through your Son, Jesus. Amen. Amen. One announcement real quick before we get started. This Thursday at 6 is the day where we get together and do the bagging of the food items for the Feed Our Children program. And there is a sign-up sheet back on the bulletin board. And the day is this coming Thursday on March 19th, and it starts at 6 o'clock. Many of us have done that before, bagging up food for underprivileged children to have on the weekend while they're away from school. And today is the last day to be bringing donations for this bagging. If you could bring any of the donations by this evening, or get a hold of Sean and she can make other arrangements if you need to be picked up or something. But there's more information on the bulletin board. And if you have any questions, be sure and see Sean. Be sure and keep a number of our members in your prayers. There's a number of people that aren't able to be here today, either due to health concerns, maybe their age. Some have compromised immune systems and are kind of trying to avoid public places as much as possible. This is, in uncertain times, this is a constant for us. For those of us that are in the church, those of us that are members of His kingdom, this is something we can count on. Amen. This is something we can lean upon. In troubled, unsettled times, I don't want to minimize anything. Far be it from, I would never want to minimize, but it's, in my opinion, I think people are overreacting, and you go to the grocery stores and so forth. But keep our members in your prayers. Reach out to them this week. Send them an email. Send them a text. Make a phone call where they still feel connected, even though they're not able to be here with the body, that they're still part of the body. And it's important to them. It's important for us. Anyway, let's get into our lesson. One thing that, speaking of constants, sin. Sin is a constant. And I'd like for us to just be reminded at some of the concepts in sin today. We were talking in class this morning and about how easy some concepts are for it to kind of be complacent, you know, and things that we look at so often, we can kind of sometimes overlook. And we never want to get complacent with sin. So let's take a look at it real quick. One, what is sin? You know, a lot of times it's easy for people, not only in the church, but for out of the church, to minimize sin. Oh, you know, kids, almost giving a license. Boys will be boys. Almost like it is acceptable. We living in Las Vegas. What's that big motto that came up a few years ago? What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. Well, first of all, no, it doesn't. I gotta have equal time on that one. No, it doesn't. And if you're talking about sinful behavior, being on vacation doesn't give you license. But sin, in 2 John 9, the Apostle John wrote, "Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son." In just that one verse, we see an awful lot of meat right here. Whoever transgresses, we're all guilty. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ. Well, I do most of it. I abide by most of the doctrine. We need to abide in all the doctrine of Christ. Not the things that are easy. Not the things that are convenient. Not the things that, well, you can't expect me to do this. Yeah. Well, I believe in God. I don't need to be baptized. We're all going to the same place, just getting there in different ways. Jesus says there's one way. The gate is narrow. Who does sin affect? Okay? And this is something, it's kind of easy to look, sin affects those people. Sin affects them, not that person in the mirror. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned. Paul is writing to the Christians in Rome, and he's telling them all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That not only tells us who it affects, but it also helps define sin. Sin is falling short of the glory of God. God has a desire for us and an expectation of a relationship. And when we sin, we are falling short of that. And who does that? All of us. Our Sunday morning Bible class right now, Preston has been doing such a wonderful job. His overall class has been about salvation. And we've talked about atonement and propitiation and reconciliation. And that's what God wants, because all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. He wants us to be reconciled back to Him. Amen. And to get in, I guess as the common phrase says, in the good graces of God, because we have fallen short because of the sin in our life. 1 John chapter 1, starting in verse 8, the Apostle John wrote, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves." I've got a microscope, a magnifying glass, when I'm looking at the sin of other people. I can see the littlest bit. When I've got 20/20 vision. But when I'm looking in the mirror, I sometimes have a hard time looking at that for various reasons. But if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. Can you imagine being so bold as to say, "God, you're lying. You say I got sin. I don't got sin. I'm good." Got another thing coming. But if we confess our sins, that pride, that's that pride you were talking about, Dick, in class today. Sometimes we get that pride. We have to put away pride to be able to realize not everybody can say, "I need God." Not everybody can say, "I am not good in the situation I'm in right now." They justify, they minimize, they look abroad, they make excuses. We might have for a period of time. How long did we justify? How long did we overlook the truth until somebody brought it to us? Somebody that was an ambassador for Christ and used the ministry of reconciliation. Say, I wasn't asleep in class, Preston. Used that ministry of reconciliation to teach us to be brought back into those graces of God. And when we confess, Jesus says you have to confess Him. Confess our belief in Him. And by doing that, we're also saying we can't do it without you, that we have sin in our life. Amen. What does sin do? What does sin do? Isaiah 59, verse 2, "But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden His face from you so that He will not hear." That is scary. that our sins have separated us. That is one of the hardest things that Jesus had to face, the hardest thing Jesus had to face, to be time and eternity one with God. And when he took the sin of the world on himself, he was separated from God temporarily. We were in that situation before we were baptized. Your iniquities, and all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, your iniquities have separated you from God. But he loved us so much that he gave his son. And the consequences of that is the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God, the gift. We don't do anything to earn it. We can't be good enough to earn it ourselves. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. How long did we carry that burden of sin? How long did we try to run this race of life, carrying sin, bogging us down? And he wants us to cast it off. What is the remedy? What is the remedy of this sin? And there is a remedy. That's the best news there is. We talk about the gospel being the good news. The good news is there's a remedy for all this. Could you imagine if the end of the story was all of sin and fall short of the glory of God, and your iniquities separate you, and we all sin? The end. But like Paul Harvey, the rest of the story, those of you a little bit older, get that connection. What is the remedy of sin? John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, because without him we would. Without sending his Son, we would perish. That whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world. He didn't send Jesus to condemn the world. The law's already done that. The law of Moses points out our iniquities, where we fall short. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be, through him, might be saved. That's the remedy. Acts 2:38. When the people realized what they had done, Peter, on the day of Pentecost, delivers a wonderful gospel sermon, and he delivers the message that this Savior that we have been looking for was Jesus. And you killed him. You crucified him. And verse 37, it says, they were cut to the heart. They were beside themselves. They were cut to the heart, and they cried out, "What shall we do?" And verse 38, Peter responds, "Then Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, that you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's the remedy. God loved us so much, He gave His Son. And what did we do? We killed Him. What shall we do? Repent. Turn away. Quit being like you were. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of your sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Acts 22, 16. This is the verse that Don read to us earlier. The man that wrote a lot of the letters that we gathered scripture from today, the Apostle Paul, this is what was told to him. And he went on to tell others. Somebody was good enough to tell Paul about salvation. And look at how many people he went and told. Somebody was good enough to tell you about salvation. Somebody or multiple people had a hand in you being saved. We have that responsibility to tell others. It was told to Paul. And now, why are you waiting? Why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Amen. Jesus Himself says, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. Mark 16, 16. In closing up, 1 John 1, verse 7, has a little word with a lot of emphasis. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. After the fact, after we've arisen and was baptized, if we continue to walk in the light as He is, not the light as we think, walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of His Son Jesus cleanses us from all sin. If you have not, I am pretty sure everybody in here, with the exception of Knox. That'll be a good day, huh? Amen. That'll be a good day. We've got a few little babies in here that haven't done that yet, but they will. We've all done that. We've all put our Lord on in baptism. But we need to continue to walk in the light. We need to repent from our sins. Not keep traveling that same old, doing the same old dumb mistakes that we do. If you need to repent of sin, this is a good time. If you need prayers of the congregation, this is a good time. If you need to put your Lord on in baptism, if you haven't, this is a good time. Whatever your need, if you would come forward while Josh leads us in the invitation song, we will address your needs. Let's stand.